Welcome to Answer the Call, the podcast that helps Christians discern their callings, then practically land a job that's aligned with it. I'm your host, Kelsey Kemp, an ex-tech consultant, multi-time founder, TEDx speaker, and career coach over at thecalledcareer.com. We don't skim the surface around here. I know what it's like to feel stuck in a career path that just wasn't for me. So that's why since 2018, I've devoted myself to being here with you, sharing everything I know from helping hundreds of professionals make meaningful career pivots of their own, anywhere from New York to New Zealand, lawyers to high school teachers, 21 to 65 years old. Now it's time for your story. Here at Answer the Call, you'll see weekly episodes on faith, mindset, clarifying your calling, top job search strategies, and even a few lessons on entrepreneurship for those of you who feel called to start a business. Enjoy today's episode, and if you would, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe at the end. Cheering you on, always, let's go. Hello, everybody. Okay, this is September 14th, 2023. Kelsey, who is a little embarrassed that it's taken a while for me to show back up on the podcast, but y'all, can I give you some little micro life updates? I got engaged 10 days after the last episode that I published on here. So later this June or July, and it has been such a fun, but also such a full time. In addition to that, my team has expanded and the business has grown a lot. We are serving a lot of Christian professionals who are ready to find their calling and land a job that's aligned with it, or even launch a business. I'm serving quite a few aspiring business owners right now and helping them launch their thing. And so with all the extra fullness in life, one thing did have to go. And you could guess what that is. It's a podcast, but guess who's back? And it's especially just, I wanted to push to get this episode out because our very special guest today, Madison Zismer, is a former client that I worked with earlier this year. Absolute pleasure and honor to get to support her in her journey. And she has some really exciting updates of it's time to launch her business. So this is a great time to share her story that we recorded earlier in June. She's been so patient with me and asking, how's the wedding planning going and whatnot? And I've been like, okay, I'm so sorry. I need to get your episode out. So I'm mostly so happy for you that you get to hear a story that I think you're going to relate with, which is one of someone who was Madison was a marketing manager at a law firm in what you could imagine as like a very traditional job and career that she was doing well at. At the same time, she could not resist this knowing that she was made for something different. We started working together and really going deep throughout the process, realized that she felt called to start a health and wellness business as a coach and consultant. And she fought through so many big fears and did so faithfully and bravely. And so in this conversation, I love how honest she is about all of that and how she'll share how she worked through it and how you can as well. And also she is so beautifully honest about the things that I know we're all curious about. If you're someone who's in a traditional 9-to-5 job and is aspiring to start your own business one day, you might be wondering things like, how do you make ends meet when you're in the early days and your business isn't making money yet? How do you go about it? What are the very first steps that you take to get a business off the ground? I love how it's not just me sharing my advice in this episode, but really you get to hear a real life client case study of how Madison did that this year. Also, you should go check her out on Instagram at @madhealthy. And she's just so cute. Oh my gosh. I love Madison so much. So go over and check out her alternative and holistic health service and go along with her journey. And if you want to get healthier, definitely go hire her. So anyway, without further ado, please enjoy this conversation with Madison Zismer. Great. Madison, I am really so excited that you're here and that we're back together. It's been a couple of weeks since we wrapped up our work together, and I have to say I've missed you
so much. I'm excited to be here. So
Heck
fun.
yeah. Well, you have a really, really cool story in terms of particularly going from a marketing job and being in a traditional work environment to now leaving the 9 to 5 and starting your own business. And so I am particularly honored and excited for the listeners to get to hear about all the bravery that takes and how you worked through a lot of what that required from you in overcoming fears and how that how you practically made the decision as well as spiritually with God. So my first question is, what were some of the frustrations that you were experiencing in your job that inspired you to reach out for a career change?
Yeah, gosh, there's so many. I feel like this question, I was like, gosh, I could start in so many different places. But I think the biggest thing, and this has been something honestly since like after college and my first job, of just feeling really a lack of fulfillment and purpose in my work and feeling like I would never be able to confidently say I really enjoy what I'm doing. And so that was kind of the biggest driver for me. I had switched jobs back in August, or yeah, August of 2022. I was at a digital marketing agency for 2.5 years and then switched to become a marketing manager at a law firm. And pretty soon into that job, I realized this is not the right fit for me. I went from content strategy to more like high level strategy, and it was a little bit of sales and also business development, and that is just not me at all. And so pretty soon on, I realized like, okay, I need to figure out what I actually want to be doing and what would bring fulfillment and purpose. But I don't know how to do that. And I just kind of felt like I kept hitting roadblocks and just felt like really stuck in that and just figuring out, trying to figure out on my own, but not knowing where to go. And so my roommate was working with you and she referred me to you.
Yeah,
So
Louise, we
yes,
love
the
her.
best. Yes. So we got on the phone and I was like, I need to work with this girl. She's amazing. Yeah. So that's kind of what the
Very
journey
touched
looked
by
like.
that. The girlies in your house are just like the highest quality
Oh, they're the
ever, I have
best.
to say.
Yeah. I live with four other
Y'all
girls.
make
We're all
me
in
want
our
to move to
20s.
Atlanta.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out life, but it's fun.
Yeah, down for the ride. I mean, I guess that's what 20s is for and
Oh, yeah.
beyond. But
It's a roller coaster ride.
truly glad we have each other. What or how long had you been dreaming of starting a business?
Gosh. See, I don't even know if I would have said at the time when we got on the call, our first call, that that was a dream of mine. I think our first session that kind of came to life a little bit more as we started talking. But I think, yeah, I think it was very much like a buried dream. I remember, so the first year after college, I did a program called the Chattanooga Fellows, which sits under the Fellows Initiative. It's basically like a 9-month faith and work program. And it's all about kind of dreaming and figuring out how faith intersects with our work. It's very, honestly, it's your module one, but like in 9 months.
That's
So you're
intense.
taking like seminary style classes, you're in a internship in like your field of work, but it was just a lot of like we'd have weekend retreats where we'd talk about career stuff and all of that. But it was a lot of dreaming. I felt like that year I kind of was able to just think through what do I actually want to be doing. And I remember at the end of that 9 months, or like close to the end, I sat on the top of Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is this beautiful mountain with my dad. And we were just talking through what the future looked like. And I remember saying to him, I was like, I really want one day down the line in the future to start a wellness center where people can come and have like their spiritual needs met, their physical needs met, and then their mental needs met. So like it would be an umbrella for all of those things where you can kind of come and have delicious, nourishing, farm fresh food, and then also like meet with spiritual directors or take like holy yoga classes with scripture, and then also meet with counselors. So I just feel like all three of those things were just on my mind, and I really wanted to create a place where people could do that. And we talked about it and kind of, like had a dream board and then I or dream session, and then I walked away from that conversation and honestly just kind of forgot about it. So like I tucked it in the back of my head. And I was a PR major in school. And so I thought, because that's what I majored in, I needed to go pursue a job in a similar field. And so pursued marketing. Actually was looking for a job in the heat of COVID, and it was really like the only job that I could find, or it was the first job I could find, and it had been like a number of months of searching. So I don't know, I think it was definitely a dream that was kind of just tucked in the back of my head for a little while. But until our first session, I don't think I really started to think that that could be a possibility, I guess.
Yeah, I am now remembering that in our initial, like the first deep dive session that we did together, if my memory serves correctly, it's that it wasn't so much that you were just, it was leaping off the pages of your reflection homework and prep work that like you have to be a business owner, or that your passion is to start a business mm-hmm. for the sake of starting a business. You brought up so beautifully that it's really, you have a calling to help people with their wellness. And I would love to hear more of your heart behind that and the story of why that matters so much to you. And it just so happened that a business, starting a business is a vehicle to do that very directly and creatively. And so it was really a means to an end, not yes, for some yeah. folks. Like I do have some friends that it's like, they just love, their calling is more to a function rather than a mission. And that's totally valid. And they are called to serve the function of being really effective business people. And they, like, I have a friend, Alden, he is just amazing at getting businesses to, he says, like, I just really like the 0 to 1 million phase. And then after growing it, people are like, bro, it's like successful now. And he's like, yeah. I just want to start from zero again. And he's called to that kind of function and he's so mm-hmm. good at it. And then there's others that are really like you or like me that we, like me, for instance, I have been called to help people through for the objective and the mission of helping them find their calling. So that was a little long-winded. Could you share the heart behind, like, why, what do you feel called to do? How would you describe that and why?
That's a great question. I think really the biggest thing is helping people. I've seen just a lot of myself included, but a lot of my family members just go through some really hard health journeys. And currently my sister is battling Lyme disease, and that's been really, really difficult. So just seeing different family members go through that and just seeing how lonely that is. And her health coach has been tremendous in like helping her along in her journey towards healing and just helping her not to feel so alone in it and so isolated in it. So I think that's the biggest thing. It's always been something I've been interested in and passionate about. And it's kind of been a hobby of mine. Like I've always loved healthy foods. I've always loved working out. I've always loved wellness, but I think really until recently, I realized, okay, this is actually a thread that's been kind of woven throughout my story and something that I feel really passionate about, you know, creating some sort of change in people's lives and being able to help people with. And so I think that's probably like the biggest driver is just seeing the people closest to me impacted by different things related to health and being able to step in and help others. I just think would be so fulfilling. I literally have, I don't know where it is, but I have like a little excerpt from my journal when we first started meeting where I was like, I don't know what I want to do, but Lord, like I seriously just want to do something where I'm going to be able to help people and make a livable wage. And so
yeah, that's what I say all the time. Everybody just wants to genuinely help people and happen to make money doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I was like, please help. But anyways, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is just seeing people that I love so dearly walk through it and wanting to be able to help and create a difference. And I think that there's just a lot of ways to do it. But I think one-on-one coaching is a really neat way to be able to step in and have just long sessions with people and kind of hear what's going on in their world. So yeah, I'm really excited about that.
That's so cool. If I could speak into this for a minute, just getting to be on the coaching side of things, it was such a joy to watch all of the confirmation elements kind of get checked off that this is the best path for you, because not only did you believe and feel really compelled by
this is a way that I really want to see it on earth as it is in heaven. I want to see people experience the freedom, experience freedom and God's grace in their life through wellness practices. And then, so you liked the outcome and wanted to be a part of it, but then you also liked the mechanics. You have been gravitated towards for such a long time, and for your own, just for yourself, the like all the details of, we talked about like clean beauty and like you said, like whole foods and working out, and you just loved to learn about it. So that's another check. You liked the mission, you liked the inner mechanics of it. Like it wouldn't be a bad day if you didn't get on a session, but you were just in your prep work studies for a session. And then you also liked the setting, was another last thing of, you have a design and a personality that you are willing to overcome the challenges and the downside of self-employment. And you have a personality that is, you are willing to really set your mind on enjoying the upside of it. And I think with all those things, and I don't want to call entrepreneurship like a personality trait. I think personality does make it easier for some more than others, but you were willing to make the core decisions of like, I am okay with choosing peace and variable income. I'm okay with getting creative with my finances. I am okay with, even though I like structure, I remember that you said that you were okay with choosing how to lead yourself and structure yourself rather than just constantly for the rest of your life needing to receive a structure. And I'm curious if you want to add anything else of confirmations that made you feel like, I think this is, especially from the spiritual side too, this is God smiling on this decision.
Yeah. I think there's so many. I think back, it's just funny. Like, I think about my roommate recently made a comment where she's like, it's just really weird to see you like dressed up in like slack, like dress pants and a blazer walking into a corporate office. She's like, that just doesn't seem like you at all. So I just feel like there's been these tiny little, like, since I've done it, just confirmations. That's a silly one, but that. And then I recently had a friend of mine, she was like, Madison, do you feel like it's hard to stay self-motivated? And I honestly was like, no, I think I feel more motivated doing what I'm doing right now, because I'm owning the work that I'm doing and I really enjoy what I'm learning, versus when I was in a job and I felt like they were owning me in a sense. I don't know if that's.
I couldn't handle it. I was like a ferret in a trash bag. Honestly, I should not have been in a corporate job.
I mean, it's just been so freeing. But I think the biggest thing is just a lot of prayer. Like, I think I went to God just every day being like, Lord, what do I need to do? And then also just people speaking into it. I think that was huge for me, of just bringing in my closest people. We got on two calls that you told me to quit my job. And the first call I did not. And I waited, I don't know what that time frame was, but I think it was about a month or so, maybe a month. And a few weeks, 3 weeks maybe. And then we got on the second one. You're like, did you do it? I was like, no, I was too scared. But then we got off the last call. I was like, I promise I'm going to do it next week. And I went home, and that was Easter weekend. And I sat down with my parents and had a really cool conversation with my dad. And he basically was like, I had kind of gotten to the point where I said, okay, I would much rather do this and face the risk of it than not do. Like, I got to a point where I was like, I can't not do it anymore. Just the peace that I felt and like the joy also that I felt like looking towards that was really exciting to me. And he basically said, he gave me permission in a sense. He was like, go fall on your face and fail, and that's okay. And I am such a perfectionist. If you know me, I like by the rules. And so that was just so helpful for me to be like, okay, it's okay to fail. Actually, it's probably really healthy to fail, and it's going to be part of this. And so that was huge. Like, I went back to Atlanta and I was like, okay, we're going to do this. I think that was a big thing. And then just a lot of, I mean, I would sit at my desk at the law firm and watch videos of people or different podcast interviews and such of people who had gone into health coaching, and would literally be like sitting at my desk weeping, like, I need to leave this job.
Yeah,
And
that was
because I
another
felt
like,
so moved by it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Nope, you go.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just felt so moved by it. And then I would get on the, I had a couple of informational, three or four informational interviews with health coaches. And every time I'd get off those calls, I would just feel so like on top of the world, like so encouraged. And then also just so excited about the potential of having that be my career. And so that was really encouraging.
Oh, wow. You know, I want to acknowledge that not everyone I have gotten to support or friends I've gotten to see through their own calling journeys have had like so much obvious grace. I mean, everything is a function of God's grace and kindness and love towards us, however it looks, and it might look really ugly sometimes, and we might not understand it, but not everyone I've gotten to support who definitely has like just as much of a legitimacy to their calling and everything has gotten all pretty much five of those criteria like perfectly checked off, what I mentioned plus the addition of you talked about confirmation from friends and family supporting you, and then also the last one I would say that's a non-negotiable as you're having informational interviews with people who are you suspect really living your dream, and you just get off the call with them and you're like, I can't not do that job. I have to be her, or like I have to be him or whatever. And I would say that last one's really important, but I just praise God for the way that he wrote your story. I only mention that because I don't want anybody listening to get discouraged if they have like 4 out of 5. Stay encouraged, friends. But I just think it's especially so amazing the way your parents responded, and your dad in particular. He has a business, doesn't he? I think, is that his
he's
background?
A financial advisor.
We share that. Our dads are both financial advisors.
Oh, really? Wait, that's so funny. We should have known that. But he's been like when we had to fill out our career models or people that we looked up to, I don't know if that was the word, but people that we look up to in their careers, he was always the one. Like growing up, I would be like, I want to be like dad, and not necessarily I don't want to do anything in finance, I'm not a numbers girl, but because he just always approached work being like, I'm never going to retire because I love what I get to do and I love my clients and I love getting to help people. Yeah. And so I've just always looked up to him and I'm like, I want to do something like that. That just makes me really excited to get up every day. And I've not felt that way. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Let him be an example to us all. And for anyone listening, if you don't have a dad like that, you have a heavenly father like that. So
True.
Hey, Jesus juke number one on this podcast. I hope I don't do too many more of those. I meant that not to be cheesy, but actually encouraging. And I want to hear a little bit more about the fears that you alluded to. Of what were some, I know that there was a lot, some of the fears that you experienced in approaching this decision, and how did, what helped you overcome them?
Gosh, so many. I had to like go back and look at the fear setting exercise to remember them all, but
because we list those out in our work together.
That's what I would do every single session that we would get together. I'd be like, okay, so I wrote all of them out, can we just talk through these?
Yes.
That was so helpful. But I think, I mean, one of the most far-fetched ones was like, I was like, I'm gonna quit my job, and then I'm not gonna have any, like, what am I gonna do? I'm not gonna be able to pay my rent or buy groceries, like, just, I don't know, crazy things like that would pop into my head. Or what am I gonna do about my health benefits? Or I don't know, just a lot of that kind of thinking. And then also I was really, really scared about what people would think. And not, I don't think necessarily because I didn't think they would support me. I just feel like for as long as I've, you know, thought about my career, it's always been like you go to college and you go work a corporate job and you climb the ladder and that's that. And it just feels so different than what so many of my friends at my age are doing. Most of my friends are at Delta or Chick-fil-A and working these amazing jobs. And I think I bought into this lie that like I needed to go do that. And if I didn't, then that was wrong or something like that, which those are great jobs, but just not the right thing for me. And so I think a lot of my fear was around what people would say or what people would think. Yeah, I think that was a big one that I had to work through. And a lot of limiting beliefs too, of just knowledge, like, I don't know anything. I don't know how to create a business. What if I do this and I fail? What if I do this and then I want to pivot again? And here we are at square one and all of those types of things. So lots of things I could keep going.
Yeah, thank you for sharing those. And I'm thinking about how special it was that you really followed the encouragement I gave to like fill that out. And which, if anybody listening just wants to look up Fear Setting by Tim Ferriss, it's a TED Talk. It's really, really helpful. It's something that was a practical framework that helped me in making my own corporate exit decision. And it's just so good that you listed each and every one of those out and remained diligent about writing down exactly what your feared scenario was, because then instead of saying, let's just slap on some toxic positivity and just move on, anxiety is physiologically designed to help you. You just can't let it get out of control, and you really do have to harness it to help you. So it, without it, we often don't pay attention to the things we need to pay attention to. And so you did use it, and we worked on harnessing it to say, how can we create a plan to where you know your bills would be covered? And what practical questions need to be answered about healthcare? Or what do we need to really explore with what do people think? What are, and biblically, our thoughts supposed to be, or what is our relationship supposed to be with other people's thoughts and approval? And then that takes revisiting sometimes until your little lizard brain understands that it really can be quiet for a little while and rest. And the next time it comes up, it's going to be a little weaker and a little weaker. And we just kept on whittling that down until you got to the point where you kind of, like you said, you knew too much and you know, you knew you really could do it.
No, it's so true. It was like, okay, I'm capable of doing this. I can do this. And if I don't do it, then I'm going to regret not doing it. I feel like that was the like point really that I got wouldn't, to.
It's not even that you would just regret doing it. It's like, it wouldn't be faithful. Like you would really be choosing idols and fears over the Lord graciously bending his ear toward you and responding to all those things you prayed about and received discernment on. So it's, I like to highlight that because it's like, it's true though. You'd be slapping God in the face. Like he really did meet you. You sought him and he met you. And it's like sometimes, and I've done that so many times and I repent for that. And God so graciously brings me back. It's like, tell me your will. And then he's like, this. And I'm like, not that. Okay, thank you.
But, like, so wait, I don't think I heard you right.
Surely not. Yeah, I need to do a whole other podcast about my year of reflection. It's been a year since I bought my house. I truly believe I was not supposed to buy that house. And I have some discernment on that. Hey, God. It's making me stronger. I just love that I recorded like a miracle podcast on it. And I was like, it's true. Even when we make the wrong decision, God is like a really, he's even better than a good earthly father. He's gentle with us. It says in the Psalms, he desires mercy and not sacrifice. He didn't want to like sacrifice me or whip me or anything, or like smite me. It's just like, he wanted better for me. And it's just so hilarious. I had no foresight. He like literally, I sought him so much on that decision. And then I heard him say, sorry, this is so supposed to be about your career. I hope this testimony is helpful. But I like, it was kind of big drama. I loved it. I was like out in the backyard last, April one night, and I was like, God, like interest rates are rising, like houses are skyrocketing in price, like I don't want to miss my chance and be like priced out of living in this city forever. I think I just need to like grab land and get something. Oh, scarcity mindset. And I was just reading today, I think it's Romans 14:23 that says everything that is not done out of faith is sin. And part of that is practical and could be true, what I was saying and what I was fearing. So there's that. But then I really saw it him and I was just like, God, I surrender, but not really, as we're about to see. And then what do you want me to know about this? Mm-hmm. And I learned from Jamie Winship, an author, that like, that's a really effective way to pray. Like, what do you want me to know about this? Cause he promises wisdom and truth. He might not promise an answer or a roadmap and clear instructions or a guarantee, but he does promise wisdom and truth. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I felt like I heard really clearly, focus on your business first. And I was like, I'm already working hard. I just want a house. Can I do some personal stuff too? And he's like, focus on your business and then focus on a marriage relationship. And I was like, what? No suitor in sight. And then three, then you could buy a house. And I was like, what? But like a tiny condo in Austin, Texas is going to be $1 million by the time I get married in 100 years. And then, so next day I literally got pre-approved. And the next day after that, I was under contract. It happened fast.
So fast.
And I was like, oh, God's blessing. Amazing. And then, he did really bless it and do so many miracles. And I am so grateful for that house. And every time I walk in it, I now rent it out. I don't even live there. That's a part of the story. Oh, I don't even live there. I had to rent it out.
The mold? Sorry, now we're talking about houses.
Oh, kind of. Yeah. And it made me sick.
Yeah.
It made me so sick that like, it almost like threatened my life. It was crazy. We're going to get back to your career. Sorry. But anyway, I just saw that like life and wisdom and truth is intention. God is so gracious. And mm-hmm. you might, even as you're in sin, which the technical definition of sin is just anything you do that's like, you're either straight up going toward God or you're like, and then you fall off, or you're away from God and it's distance from God. And so, I made a decision out of fear, and only in retrospect do I realize I bought at the absolute peak, literally for, 3 weeks later, my house is worth like $40,000 less. And, it's just so crazy. And then little did I know I would meet someone that I think 3 months later, that I bought a house when I was single because I was afraid that a man would like make me move and have an ugly suburban house out in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, I want to live in the city, God.
No.
And I'm like, no, because I just didn't have faith to foresee that God would be so kind to me that he would also give me a partner that had a value for living in a certain neighborhood. And I'm on the first date with this guy, and also through Ann Louise, your roommate, like God did some crazy things. And she sent me this podcast the day of the first date. I was like, what?
I know. What?
Oh my gosh. Like God spoke through it all. It's so crazy. I need to catch up with her. And then it's like, I'm not engaged yet. So we have to see, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to get engaged this summer. He doesn't listen to this podcast, so it's fine. It's so funny. My mom was roasting me today. She was like, you're getting, you know, ahead of your horses. And I was like, just you wait.
You're like,
it's fine. I'm like so confident in it. I hope I don't. Jesus, please don't humble me so hard. Please don't. Please don't do that move. But anyway, so first date, he's like, oh, I just went under contract for a house. And I was like, what? That's so cool. Congrats. Where? Oh, like in an even better neighborhood within the loop of the city. And it's also a duplex and it's bigger than yours. And it's like, wait, what? That's crazy. That's so crazy.
That is crazy.
And so now it's like, it's been such a financial strain. It's like, LOL. I was like a year probably from like scooting into an even better housing situation.
That is crazy.
So funny.
I think it's so easy to be, and I did this a lot where I was like, one day when I'm married, I'll create my own business. Like right now, 25 and single. That's not my move. And I think it's so easy to be like, let fear drive a lot of those decisions. And I did that for a long time. And even quitting my job. I mean, it took me a lot longer than I think I would have liked because I let fear kind of pull me back from actually just doing it scared. That's what you told me to do. Who is
Thank you
scared?
for allowing me to share that.
Oh my gosh,
not
I love
some
it. I think that's great.
Testimony. I think it's been heavy on my heart recently to really share with people, like, for your own sake and also for the Lord, because he does deserve our admiration and obedience, and he really does deserve to be pleased and honored and praised. Mm-hmm. And so please, for yourself and for God, like, when he is so gracious to actually answer you in prayer, please don't slap him in the face and be like, I didn't hear that. Surely not. Surely there's not a way. Please don't say, surely there's not a way, to the God of the universe who split the Red Sea and put up a wall of fire to protect the Israelites from the Egyptians. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, money is nothing to him. Housing is nothing to him. Your job is getting you a job is nothing to him. Getting you a husband is nothing to him. Like, seriously, I just think
he cares about the details. It's so true.
He does. Yeah, read Esther, shows that he cares about the details. Okay, back to you, my friend. You're very gracious. I'm trying to think. I had another question planned, but I'm wondering, what are the things on your heart for what you really wish that somebody in the situation you were in just a couple months ago, at the start of it, of like, oh gosh, I'm struggling, I just really don't know what to do. What practical advice and action would you recommend they take, as well as, like, what do you want them to know in terms of truth and encouragement?
Yeah. So good. I would say first thing is to seek help. I think that that's something, like, I was all in. I was like, we're doing this. But I think some people are a little bit more hesitant towards that. And so I think, like, seeking out someone who knows, I mean, this is like your job. And so, you know, like, the ins and outs of career coaching. And I just think it was so helpful. I mean, I literally sent our first session that we met. I was like, can I record you? This is so good. This is so helpful. And
I'm so touched by that.
I walked away just feeling like so empowered, but also just like so many things that my mind was just everywhere that came together. And that was just super powerful for me, I think. And then I would just say to trust God. I know that sounds like very simple, but I think that that has been something that
your life
has,
hinges upon it.
Literally,
so let's
camp
out on
and
that
surrendering. Yeah. And surrendering. I think this is something that my therapist, because I love counseling, has told me over and over again, but she always says to glorify God most fully is to be most fully alive. And I just think that's so true. But the way that you do that is through trusting him with, like, your decisions and with the things that you step into. And so I would say, like, trusting with the small things, and also knowing that, like, you're not alone. I think I felt in the beginning, I felt really alone. I was like, nobody else is doing this. I'm like the only one who's kind of trying to navigate what it looks like to step out and create a business and figure out what that looks like. But the reality is there are so many people, and I am not alone, and you are not alone. And so I think, yeah, trusting and surrendering and knowing that there are so many people to help, and also that you're not alone in it, would be like the biggest things.
That's so sweet. What's that quote that's like, surround yourself with people for whom your dream is normal, or with whom your dream is normal.
Ooh, I love that. I've never heard
that was huge for me. And I didn't have people, like, physically around me that were 24-year-olds leaving tech consulting and doing a coaching business, but the internet's a big place. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had a lot of voices in my head of just, I would find anybody who had a good word and a good testimony for the result that I ultimately wanted. And I just fed myself that every single day. And I think that we really become the information that we feed ourselves. And so feed yourself information of hope, like, run away from any information that's like unhelpfully distracting and unhelpfully just unhopeful and discouraging for the sake of it. I'm not saying that you have to run away from pain in the world, but Instagram is pretty useless. So I just think finding those friends and kind of mentors from afar online and study their testimony. And even if they're not Christian, it's like, wow, Lord, thank you so much for the story you wove for them through Common Grace. And I know that you care about them, even though they don't know you yet. I pray that they know you soon. Mm-hmm. But God, wow, I'm your child. You care about me. So do it again for me, God. Do it again for me. And just like pray those really audacious prayers. Read Luke 18. I think it's chapter 18 that you could Google the persistent widow, the parable of the persistent widow. And it talks about how Jesus is saying, if there was a widow in a town with an unjust judge, and she went up and petitioned him every single day saying, give me my justice. And that judge, being unrighteous and evil, even said, basically, you're bothering me. And just because you're bothering me so much, I'm going to give you the justice that you're asking for. And then Jesus says, like, your Father in heaven, being a righteous judge, how much more is he happy to grant you your justice and your petitions? And that's parallel to Matthew 7, talking about ask, seek, knock. And then there's just like so many passages about, if you read the Gospels like consecutively, they don't take that long to read. You will see Jesus being like, can you just come to me with your desires? You don't even have to worry about them being selfish or too much for me, because even as you pursue lesser things, if you're just trying your best to like throw me in the mix, like I will slowly, with whatever you have, even with your like uneloquent prayers and your heart that's only like 10% turned towards me, I will work with that. And God has refined me so much, even through, going for every single thing that I wanted that was or might not have been from him. He shows me in the end, and like, he's the only one that could like really read our hearts and show us the truth. And so just go to him, and he is so gracious. Like,
he is. Yeah.
He can help you with your job. He can help you. True. He wants you to be fruitful.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know why. I think we had talked about this early on, but for some reason, I believe that about every other area of my life, except for my career, which I don't know why that is, but I think because I had just been so frustrated for so long. And so, yeah, I think it, well, maybe not always believe it, but I feel like it's easier for me to believe in other areas of my life. So yeah, I think that's so true and such a good word. I was reading, I'm reading The Next Right Thing by Emily P. Freeman. It's all about decision-making. What?
Uh-huh. I've heard of that. I've heard good things. Do you
it's
like
really
it?
Good. Yeah, I've loved it. It's been really good. It simplifies like the idea of making a decision, which is good for me. But anyways, last night I was reading one of the chapters, and it's called Pick Something You Like and Let It Grow. And I think that's such a cool way to look at it, of like, sometimes I feel like God's just like, pick something. Like, I want you to be able to delight in this, and like, let's see how it grows together. And yeah, I don't know. I've just been reflecting on that a lot. It's very simple, but it was really helpful for me.
So sweet. I love that. I realized that. Is it all right if I ask you a couple more questions? No worries if you have a hard stop. I know that I riffed off quite a bit. But I realized that the audience might really appreciate hearing how you've gone about some of the more practical needs of like what has technically starting a business looked like? What are the initial baby phases? And then also, how have you worked out covering your bills? Because I really like that story.
Yes, great question. Initially, it's really just been, I am enrolled in a certification program called Nutritional Therapy Association. So I'll be a nutritional therapy practitioner in March. So I'll graduate in March, which is very exciting. So that's been about 20 to 30 hours a week. It's been a little bit more than I thought it was going to be. But it's great. It's been really good. I like was sitting here in class the other day, and one of my roommates walked out, and I'm like beaming, and she goes, "What are you doing? You're smiling so big." Because I just loved it. It's been so fun to get to learn all the things. So yeah, that's been really great. And then to cover my bills, the other 30-ish hours of my week have been, I already had a couple of freelance marketing clients on the side, so I've just upped the hours with them. So I have 4 clients, and I'm doing everything from social media to websites to SEO, so that sort of thing. Which has been really fun too. I've really enjoyed that work because I think it's allowed me to be creative and still use marketing and make money. So we love that.
Amen. Yeah. Yes, that was such a good thing that we worked through. And that's actually the place that I start with anybody who is aspiring to start a business, is what is the minimum amount of money that you need to live? Don't guess, look at it on a monthly basis. This is not putting anything into savings or going out to eat a bunch. Though if you know, like, your number one favorite thing in life and like passion is going to a happy hour with your sister speaking personally on Fridays, then like you could see how you could work that out creatively. But you take the minimum amount of money you need per month to live. And that's usually a lot less than people, speaking of my sister, I told her to not come in here when I'm recording a podcast. And the cat's coming in too, my whole zoo. I love them. So anyway, usually a little bit less than you think. And if it's like $4,000 or $5,000, I would ask you to reconsider, unless you have children. If you're a single person and you say at a bare minimum, I need $5,000 a month to live, I'd be like, what? Unless you're living in like New York City.
Yeah. That was a very interesting thing for me to think about, because I had never, you asked me and I was like, wait, yearly? Like, I've never thought about how much it takes me to
most live people a month. Don't think about that. And so it's like, oh, well, I just generally feel like people usually just take their current salary and subtract like $20,000 from it. And they're like, 70,000 is the minimum amount I could live on. And I'm like, if push comes to shove, that's 100% not true. That is not true.
Yeah.
You're still factoring in going to Italy this November. But but anyway, you take the minimum, and that's just for your peace and your plannings. And so when you look for freelancing jobs or flexible jobs, part-time things that cover that minimum, and you say, I have that part-time job and my bills are getting covered guaranteed. And then I know that that's a deal with myself. That's happening. So I don't have to put undue pressure on the early stage of a business, especially when you're in the education and skill building phase before the selling phase. And we talked about how you're going to do like beta clients and like start slowly selling and the transition plan for that. But that's what I advise for every first, like, starting out business owner.
Which is crazy, because we set a number. I think I told you this. We set a number and I was like praying for one more client to come in. And or come through, and I literally that morning receive an email, and I'm making a good bit more with 30 hours a week, which is like amazing. So yeah, I just feel like that's totally,
thank you Jesus.
I know. So it just, I really does feel like he has provided in abundance, and it's been so fun and so cool to get to see it all unfold.
That's amazing. Just tell him what you need specifically. You
know, like this. Yeah.
Oh man, Madison, where can people follow along with you as you are growing your wellness business?
Good question. Well, I created an Instagram. I know Instagram. I know you just made a comment earlier about Instagram, but I feel like that's
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Hot take emoji, like real like fiery.
I get
about
it.
That.
I kind of go back and forth, and like it's such a big part of what I do, but I also am like, I understand.
Well, it is practically helpful for a lot of businesses. Like I crap on it, but my sister, her like business is like all of her leads come from Instagram. Yeah. So
kind of crazy.
I just need to say personal opinion. And sometimes I say it like Bible truth.
I totally understand
that.
I get
a character
it.
Fault.
But it is _ mad healthy, which is kind of funny. But
I like
that's
it.
The first step. There's like nothing on it yet. It's very fresh and clean. But I'm getting headshots done tomorrow, so that's fun. Yeah. So doing that, and then hopefully we'll have a website launching in the fall. That would be the goal, or maybe summer if we can.
That'll be so awesome. When that happens, just let me know, and I'll include that new link in the podcast description for this. And I hope that you do our little idea that we talked about, which is to like talk about what you're learning and upskill in public, as I've heard it called, and just like share the details of how you're starting a business, because I wish I did that more.
That's
like,
the
I tried
goal
to,
with
like,
the Instagram, I think.
Yeah.
Because even after my last class, I got off and I was like, I want to tell everybody what I just learned. So yes, I think I'm going to start doing that on Instagram, maybe even LinkedIn too. So we'll see if that.
Oh, you should definitely do it.
Yeah.
That's where the sad, unhealthy, rich people are. So I think you should go.
I love it.
Go do it on LinkedIn.
That one's just Madison's Ismer. So that's easy.
Perfect. Madison, thank you so much for sharing your story, your testimony, and your encouragement. Would you be open to praying for the listener if I could put you on the spot for that?
Yeah, I would love to. Okay, dear Jesus, thank you so much for just today and for this conversation with Kelsey. I pray for everyone listening who might be experiencing similar feelings and frustrations of just feeling a lack of fulfillment in their work or just really questioning what the next steps might look like. Lord, I just pray that you would provide clarity and just allow them to dream big dreams. I also ask that you would just instill a sense of trust that you are just so good and you have such good things and you care about the details of their life, Lord. And I also pray that they would just surrender to whatever you may be revealing to them in this moment. So I just thank you so much for just this time together and this conversation. In your holy name I pray, amen.
Amen. How sweet. Thank you so much for doing that and for sharing your story.
Of course. It was so fun.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. To get an even more meaningful head start into your calling, head to thecalledcareer.com, where my fellow career coach Audrey and I have created a whole suite of free resources and tools to help you get clear and get a job today. For those who are definitely ready to land a job or start a business in the next 6 to 12 months, we're here to help you biblically and practically discern your calling through coaching, reflection, and deep market research, identify the job that's aligned with it, even if you currently have no idea what you want, rebrand your resume and LinkedIn to translate your background to appeal to your future boss. P.S. We take this off your plate and do this for you. Also, we'll teach you how to land referrals and get attention from leadership through networking. Again, if that makes you nervous, we have these emails and LinkedIn messages literally written for you so you don't have to sweat. We're also here to give you unlimited interview practice so you're prepared to address every elephant in the room and knock selling yourself out of the park. Then we'll round out with helping you negotiate your salary so you land thousands more. Just so you know, recent clients have gotten $8,000 to $50,000 salary increases, even though they were totally non-traditional candidates. That's because we specialize in helping non-traditional career pivoters land jobs they're ecstatic to serve in. It takes work, but we're here to see you through until the end, when we're celebrating that day that you send me an email in all caps and you say, "Kelsey, I got the job." Then you could be on the podcast. But I'll be here until then, keeping you accountable and encouraged by meeting with you literally until you land the job you want, even if that's up to 6 months from now within our program. Apply to join at thecalledcareer.com, and I'll see you next week here at Answer the Call. Bye for now.